Hey Nick, how's it going?
Yeah, very good. Thanks, Martin. How are you?
Good. Yeah, I'm good. I'm good. Thanks.
We listened back to our podcast, didn't we, earlier on for the first time together? Like,
it's quite
that was
weird.
A bit strange, wasn't it?
It was very strange. Yeah, can't stand my own voice, but it's quite funny listening to back. It was what was it double speed as well?
It was only 1.25.
1.25. Right. Okay. Perhaps we need to speed up a bit then, because it sounded fairly normal.
Do you listen to podcasts speeded up?
No, not usually.
No, I don't bother either. I know a lot of people do though, don't they?
I have tried it, but I think I like the chatty podcasts a bit more than just pure information. I do like the pure information ones. And I guess those pure information ones, you're just absorbing it, so you can take it in a bit faster. But I think I prefer the normal speed.
I enjoy the chatty ones. Because it's just background noise then, isn't it? Something you can listen to while you're working. The kind of the actionable ones, like Startup for the Rest of Us. They stress me out a little bit because they're giving you so many actions and so many things to do. It kind of just adds to your to-do list, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
More books to read, more things to listen to.
That's the thing. You need to sit there with a notebook and pen and start taking notes, which...
I listened to a 30-minute podcast and my to-do list has grown in size, doubled in size.
Yeah, I know.
And I'm twice as stressed.
That's kind
you're
of
supposed
why...
To relieve, supposed to de-stress me.
It's kind of why I've stopped listening to so many podcasts these days, because I was feeling a bit overwhelmed because of it, yeah.
Yeah, so we had to listen back to ours anyway, because it's 4 weeks ago that we did the last last podcast like this.
I know,
because I was away on holiday again.
It's frightening how quickly time's going at the moment.
Yeah.
Yeah, but we had the interview with Robin, which seemed to go down well.
And yeah, I really enjoyed that. Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, he was good. It's a great little story. And it was really good to hear the sorts of things he was doing and how familiar it is, you know, because you often hear... a lot of glamour stories which cut out the bits of hard work and the bits of no customers and the bits of having to redo it and all that sort of thing. But I think it's good to hear.
I was going to take some actionable advice from that interview as well, but I've kind of changed my mind a bit about it.
Oh, right.
Do you know the part where he said he had the list of email addresses and Josh Pickford said just you should contact all these people and ask them what they need.
Yeah.
What they need based around Trello.
Yeah.
Well, so I was thinking I'm going to work on an ebook or something, some free downloadable stuff for teaching golf professionals, so I can collect their email addresses and start talking to them about what they do need rather than just assuming what they do.
Yeah.
But I might live to regret this. I'm not going to do that. Because I kind of think, well, I kind of know that they all need a website and the booking system and that kind of stuff to a certain degree. So
there's a baseline, isn't there? There's a baseline of you know what they need, but the devil is in the detail.
Yeah.
And you kind of got... It's only when you start getting customer support issues and when you start talking to somebody about them actually using it that you realise exactly what it is they need rather than what you think they need. That's what I found anyway.
Yeah.
So it's... And just talking to them as well. I don't think, you know, just asking them in an email, you might get the high-level ideas of what they need, but the actual day-to-day thing, it's hard to even know yourself what it is.
Well, Robin was saying he's spending 3 weeks virtually on Skype.
Yeah.
He was doing and speaking to people.
Yeah. Yeah. It's interesting, yeah.
So, anyway, back to the podcast from 4 weeks ago. I managed to hit my March goals, so that was good.
You've hit your March goals?
I hit my March goals. Well, because the last podcast we did was the 28th of March.
God,
when we put it out. Yeah.
So what were your March goals then? Give us a refresher.
I had to get Lewis's and Alex's sites up.
Right.
So that was the two pros at Calcott that I'm helping out to kind of have demo sites. They're both trainees at the moment. So basically what it was, or how I've done it, and this is perhaps how the business is going to go to a certain degree, is I found a nice bootstrap template and built a CMS around it so that they can go and edit the content. And to be honest, it's almost like a nice business idea for other stuff. Like if you wanted to build websites for garages, just go get a bootstrap template and build the CMS around it. I'm sure there's, I don't know.
I think that's a really good idea, but it does, if you get a customer that wants to do lots of new custom stuff, then you get into a problem because they want... Well, I suppose you just tell them they can't do it.
But, yeah, exactly.
You know.
You got to pick an area, I guess, where there's enough people. But anyway.
So
did that and got a basic marketing site up, which was done, which I've recently refreshed with new copy and
cool.
It looks nice.
Had a look at it. It looks good.
So that was March stuff. And then, so the April goals were around getting 5 customers.
Right.
Which I've actually signed up the first customer today.
Oh, fantastic.
I didn't tell you about that.
Congratulations.
So I say signed up, I've got email confirmation from him.
Excellent.
So I've got 4 to go.
Is that somebody you don't know?
No. So I was going to say, it's kind of cheating. So it's a chap called Neil Granville, who I used to have lessons from back in the day before he moved to London. And so he's got a WordPress site up at the moment, and it's got no template to it. It's just like the basic thing.
Yeah.
So I sent him an email saying that these are the things I can do. Giving him not a discount, he signed up for like the basic package, but I said I can give you some of the stuff from the
right,
like the upper level packages as a
yeah,
as a deal sweetener, I guess.
Cool.
And so that's good. So now I've got to work on a WordPress migration tool to move content right over from yeah, kind of the blog and the pages and stuff.
Yeah.
Got two more potentials in the pipeline as well.
Cool.
So one is the pro, another pro at Calcott. Sounds like there's loads of pros at my my golf club. He's got a site at the moment, but may move over to the platform. And one is kind of a cut. I guess it's from Lewis, someone he knows, another golf pro. So that's kind of the network. That's a referral. Yeah, that's what the word I was looking for. I put a network effect, but it's not, is it a referral? So yeah, so I've been referred one person. So hopefully I'll be able to convert him
that's
into a customer.
That's really good.
So I mean, that'll be three.
It's pretty good going, actually.
That's only £20 for each customer a month, though. So
yeah, but it's not bad. And did you have you done anything like demoing to them or anything like that? Or is it just literally been talking to them?
No, for
it?
Neil, I sent over the links to Alex's and Lewis's sites. Mm. I said, this is what the site will look at. And I mean, even the booking stuff and CRM stuff that's coming, because he works as part of a larger academy, they've already got that set up. So he's only really interested in the marketing side of things and sorting out some SEO aspects, which I said I can help him with. So yeah, the target for April is 5. I had an interesting tweet actually shortly after the last podcast, and Ant Galvin tweeted me and he said, do you think you're setting yourself up for failure? Which, when I wrote this as a note to bring up, it sounded like a bit of a negative thing, and he said, you know, he didn't mean it that way, I don't think. He kind of said, you know, perhaps you should be just trying to get one customer this month, because 5 from a standing start, it seems, you know, quite a lot. I guess because I knew I could lean on the existing golf pros I knew already, I thought 5 was a bit more achievable, or was achievable. But if I get to the end of this month and I've only got one signed up customer, I still think I'll accept that as a win. So one's better than none.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, no, that's good.
And I've got a plan set up, so our challenge amongst ourselves is to have 100 paying customers, isn't it, by the end of the month?
Yeah.
So I've got all my months, I've put on a bit of paper and I've gone March down to December. December's got 100 customers, and so I've tried to break it down.
Mm.
And for some reason, I've gone from 5 to 20 customers, so I've got to try and get 15 customers next month. But then, like, later months, I've gone increased it by 10, so I think I need to go back over my plan and just perhaps say another 5 customers for me.
I'm already thinking that I should never have agreed to that, but I think it's good to have a stretch goal, as they call it.
Of course.
So I think it's good to go for it, but I'm at the moment, because I didn't have any objectives last time, because I hadn't, you kind of sprung it on me, so I hadn't done anything. But I mean, it's been a busy time, actually, 4 weeks. I think we were just coming up to Easter, weren't we?
Yeah, that's right.
And so over Easter, there were the two organisations that I've got that are customers. They were both running camps, holiday camps or holiday clubs, over the Easter half term. So that meant that was quite busy. So in amongst the sort of bank holidays and stuff, it was really busy with support. Things like, just stupid things like, you know, editing bookings, which just the functionality's there, but for some reason there was a glitch or something went wrong, you know, stuff like that. So I just had to dive in and to help sort them out. And because there were lots going through, it took a long time to sort out. And on the other side of it as well is that one of the customers has got, they run lots of school clubs, like gymnastics, football and stuff after school. And they were then also getting those set up, ready to go, and also parents were booking them. So there are about 70 of those different clubs
that
this company's got. So, and because, of course, I haven't yet produced the bit of the system which will allow them to manage it themselves, it was all coming through me. So, so really, even though it's been 4 weeks, I've been mainly doing that.
Right, okay.
So that's been most of it, really, of what I've been doing with. I feel now I'm just about getting my head above water, like he says, touching wood, in that we've got the clubs up and running pretty much now, and so there shouldn't be too many more changes coming through. Part of the thing is that the schools seem to change their mind what it is they want to run.
Right.
You know, so you'll go from running a gymnastics club on Wednesday, and then they'll change it into a baseball club or something completely different, and it'd be like, hang on a minute, so everything's got to change. And it doesn't take long to do, but you get two or three of those and all of a sudden it's blown a day or whatever. Well, not a day, but you know, it's time consuming. So anyway, I think now I feel like I'm getting my head above water, but I've not really moved that much further forward with the product. The developer's still been working on stuff as well as fixing bugs. So we have moved a bit forward, but in terms of handing over the administration of it, it's still the same as it was from before. Yep. It's still me managing that, which means I haven't got the time to do other stuff. But another bit of bad news was the customer that I had coming on who ran a club, he sort of had a look at it, had a look at Stripe and the other payment providers about how much they'd charge, take out of his, you know, his subscriptions, and how much I was going to charge him. And because he'd only got this one club at one school, he decided that it was probably a bit of a leap for him to get take on a system like this when he didn't really need it, because he can manage it in Excel or whatever for now. So he said he still wants to do it, but he's going to come back when he's got more schools on board, which is disappointing, but there you go, that happens. The good news is I've got another customer starting a trial a week on Monday. So they run quite a few different clubs, and they're starting off doing a trial in three of them over the half term, the May half term. See how that goes. So hopefully that'll go okay.
Yep.
Done zero marketing. The website's still as bad as it was before. Yeah, that's it really, other than working away.
How are the freelance projects going? Because that was certainly added to your stress load,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Yeah, it's still the same, really. I mean, it's in pilot now. So we've got a pilot stage going on now. So it's custom, the people using it are actually doing their job with it. And it's working out okay. I had a bug this morning, which was a bit seat of the pants to try and get that sorted before the podcast. But that's sorted now. So it's just like that. It's just a similar sort of thing, really. It's mainly development work, which I can manage because I can say, right, well, I'm busy doing the kids club stuff today. Therefore, I'll have to move the development work I was supposed to do on that to this evening because I've got these support issues to get through. But when you get support issues coming through for the freelance work as well, which you need to be responded to, that's when it gets a bit tight. Fortunately, again, touching wood, not that I'm suspicious at all, but there haven't been that many bugs, so it's not too bad. It's just it's a full-time gig, so it's fitting everything in, which is the thing. But you know, I can't complain. It's going all right.
Yep.
Yeah.
So after the wins of getting the March stuff done that I wanted to get done and getting the first customer, there was a bit of a balls up.
Oh no.
Golf.io story, short story so far. So in the last podcast, I said that I was working part of it. This solution was going to be the online booking and calendaring system because I knew Gareth was using his paper diary and so on. And I said I wasn't telling Gareth that I was working on this yet.
Yeah.
And that ended up being the issue because Gareth has gone and signed up with one of the competitor sites.
Oh no.
Which is my own fault because I didn't say anything to Gareth that I was working on this, mainly because I didn't want to set any, you know, false expectations or setting a deadline saying it's going to be ready by the start of May. I kind of wanted to almost surprise him to a certain degree. And I did kind of know because I'd seen, because I manage his Twitter account, this other company had been tweeting him.
Right.
So I should have said something. It's my own fault from that point of view. So that led to a bit of an issue because there's an integration part between Gareth's website and this online booking system.
Oh, right.
And so when Gareth, because Gareth actually signed up to this thing even before we recorded the last podcast. So it shows how little we'd actually spoken about it, which is strange because we see each other down the bloody pro shop like, you know, twice a week at least and talk about, you know, the other stuff that I'm helping with. So it's really funny that it didn't come up. But I had to email those guys and say, look, this is what I'm starting up. You know, I don't want it to be cause a conflict issue in the future when I come with the booking thing.
Yeah.
And they're a Dutch company, funnily enough. And I can imagine like him, I was almost reading his reply in like a Dutch accent.
A Dutch accent, yeah.
I can almost try and do the Dutch accent now, like Steve McLaren, you know. But they're like, don't worry about it. You'll probably be a competitor soon, and like with a smiley face and all that kind of stuff. And so they've been all right about it, actually.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Yeah.
Because some people could get arsy about that, couldn't they?
And all I had to do in the end, the only integration thing, was put in some menu links from Gareth's site over to their kind of subdomain portal thing for Gareth.
So is that what they do? They do like a subdomain with their domain name.
And I've actually, even before this happened actually, and because I was going to speak to you about the whole multi-tenant side of things for that, because any kind of login system, you know, it has to be HTTPS, doesn't it? So if I'm managing 250 websites for golf professionals, I don't want to have to be having to get 250 HTTPS things. So you do need to do a subdomain wildcard thing, don't you?
Wildcard. Well, there's two ways. There's either the wildcard subdomain thing, or you just give them a virtual directory for each club.
Yep.
Each golf pro.
So that I was initially thought it would cause some issues in terms of conflict, but they were okay about that. And then obviously I was disappointed because I was hoping Gareth would be the first person to start using the booking system. But it's not all so bad. So he signed up on a 12-month contract for those guys. And it'll be interesting to see how it gets on with their system as well. Yeah. So it's a good opportunity to learn what Gareth and his customers don't like about that system, absolutely, what I can improve on. So
listen to his moans.
Yes. So having come from a negative, it's actually could turn into a bit good positive, hopefully.
Yeah, and I guess he's got something that's keeping him going now, and who knows how far away you are from actually having something that would do
that.
That's
right,
rather than him relying on you for doing it sooner, it's a bit easier. Oh, that's cool.
So that's all the golf IO news. Yeah. Got some other big news.
You've got some other big news.
Yeah. Moving to Bude.
Oh God, yes. Fantastic. Yeah, that's exciting.
So I wasn't here for the last podcast, that's why you did the interview with Robin.
Yeah.
Because we were on holiday in Bude, and we went down there with half a mind to, if there were some properties, to go and view some. And so we found a 3-bedroom house. Brilliant. So then and there, well, before we went, because there aren't many that size houses down there, because they're all holiday lets.
Yeah.
I mean, people just make money during the summer on them. And so before we went to see it, I said to Saif, if we like it, we're just going to say yes. And we're like, well, wouldn't we go and see it if we didn't want to move down here type thing? And so, yeah.
Had you lined it up then before you went? You kind of had an idea.
No. I went to all the estate agents to find if they didn't have any on Rightmove and all that kind of stuff. But literally, I think there was two 3-bedroom properties, and one didn't have off-road parking, the other one did, and we weren't off-road parking, really. So there was only one option.
Oh, cool.
So
That's really exciting. So it's not going to be that long, is it, either, until you're off?
No, so we pick up the keys on the 6th of May. So the whole reason of doing this, really, is because Megan was born in January, so Sophie's got a whole year of maternity leave.
Yeah.
And so the options were go camper vanning around, but with a newborn baby and a toddler.
That practical.
That wasn't very practical at this particular time. So we want to live, or we've always wanted to live by the sea, so we thought we're going to test it out and see how it goes for the next 6 months.
Yeah. I sense a visit to Bude coming
up. Yes. Yeah. Well, everyone's welcome. It's funny because people are already booking themselves in. People want to go to Bude more than they do Reading for some reason. I don't know why.
Yeah, I wonder why that is.
But, these are the extreme lengths I've had to go to get Sophie to actually declutter stuff. Because she's actually started throwing stuff away now. She threw shoes away yesterday, and that's never happened before. But it's amazing. The thing I'm looking forward to, once we're down there and settled, it will be nice living by the sea, I hope. But the thing I'm looking forward to is the decluttering, because we've been living in this house for probably 10 years now, and we've just built up so much crap.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? Yeah.
Can't wait to get rid of it.
Our garage is like that. It's just full of stuff.
Yeah.
It's stuff that you kind of want to chuck away, but you don't want to chuck away. And then 5 years later, you see it in the garage. You say, why isn't that in the bin? So it's in the garage at some point. Yeah. Oh, that's cool, though. It'd be great to try it out. I just hope that you're not completely fully booked with visitors, so you don't actually find out what Bude is like to live there, because you've got visitors the whole time.
Yeah, well, we go from May to November, because we want to see what it's like kind of when it's a bit colder and not summer season. They said some of the people we spoke to down there in kind of coffee shops and stuff, they said it gets really busy 8 weeks during the summer, which you'd understand. But I think maybe, if you're a local down there who doesn't rely on the tourist business, that summer period is probably not the nice part, though, is it? Because it'll be busy and overrun by people.
Yeah.
So maybe the... we'll see, who knows.
Yeah, no, it'd be good. I like being by the sea, so just being by the sea will be nice. It's
5 minutes walk from the beach and 5 minute walk to the golf course.
Brilliant. Perfect.
But there's no Regis office. I discovered yesterday there's no Yo Sushi in Cornwall either, so we're going to struggle there.
Mm. Start a franchise.
Yeah.
Cool, so, no, that's good. That's really good. Yeah.
That's it for me in terms of updates. Cool. You've been read anything interesting or podcasts?
I haven't, no, like I say, I've cut right down on the podcasts. I ran the Reading Half Marathon.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's the only time I listen to podcasts now is when I'm running. I haven't run for 3 weeks because the half marathon was 3 weeks
ago. You're done now.
Yeah. But the half marathon went really well, yeah. It was perfect weather. The sun was shining, but it was a nice cool breeze.
Mm.
and I felt really good running it, and I managed to get another personal best, which awesome. Completely shocked me. Yeah, I've got 1 hour 41 and 57 seconds, I think it was. So I was really chuffed because I, like I said beforehand, I hadn't done enough training, or didn't think I'd done enough training. But I think the conditions were so good. Just about everyone I've spoken to that I know that runs it did better this year than they have done before. So I think it was just probably the weather as much as anything.
Yep.
But no, yeah, really pleased with that.
Is the crowd very supportive again?
Yeah, it's really good. I think the crowd at Reading is fantastic.
Yeah.
There's a bit where, I suppose not much point in explaining where it is really, but you come in back in towards the town centre and you go under what's called the IDR, which is like the main ring road through Reading. And there's always a big sort of drum band playing under there. And it just sounds amazing. Do you know the bit I mean?
Yeah.
So as you're coming down this hill towards it, and coming down the hill, there's a nightclub on the right-hand side that always has music blaring out, and they actually like handing out vodka and stuff outside, but you manage to avoid that. And so you hear all this music pumping as you come around the corner, and then you're coming down the hill past all these guys dancing away with the music blaring, and then you get around the corner at the bottom, and then there's this drum band underneath this massive bridge, so it's really cacophony of noise, and it's that's the best bit, I think, that bit. Really spurs you on. But yeah, it was good. I can't wait to do next year's again, really. Yeah, it's good. Are you going to go for it next year?
I've been imbued. No, I don't know.
You've been imbued.
I might be doing some swimming thing in the sea, maybe. Maybe. I was going to say the as well as that band bit under the underpass bit, always running into the football stadium.
Yeah, that's good.
The crowd you can hear, that was always good. That's kind of the closest I've ever got to being a professional footballer and feeling how it would walk.
Yeah.
Be like running into a packed stadium.
When I came in, actually, there was a guy that had collapsed just to the right-hand side. Ooh. And he looked really fit, and he was coming way ahead. He looked like he'd been there for a little while, so he must have come way ahead of me, so he was quite... Well, quick compared to me, obviously. But I got round and out, and he seemed to be okay. He was being helped by one of the stewards. But then the crowd in the place just cheered him as he was walked over the line. And the noise was amazing. Yeah. Just really, everybody was cheering for him. It was great.
Huh. Yeah. So you've every time you've done a run then,
you've
got a personal best, haven't you?
Every time I've done an organised race, it's got better, which is scary because at some point it's going to end. Yeah.
Yeah. Well done.
No, awesome. I'm really pleased. Really pleased.
So you said you've got another run you're going to do as well.
I need to sign up for another one. Too. Yeah, I haven't run for 3 weeks, so I need to get back into it. But I'm going to try and do 2 half marathons a year now. So last year I did the Henley one at the end of the year. Well, end of the summer, September time, I think it is. So I need to sign something up soon. That'll be good.
Cool.
The other thing I've been looking into is because I've realised that the amount of work that I'm doing between the freelance gig and the Clids Club stuff is meaning I'm not getting any marketing done, which is, you know, how I'm going to get 100 customers by the end of the year with no marketing. So I started to think about taking on an intern. So we met, there was an FSB event I put on, I was still involved with the FSB and put on this event back in February, I think it was.
Yeah.
And we met somebody there from the university that was involved in internships. And I got in touch with them and I spoke to the guy from there. And it seems like quite a good option to get an intern for the summer. So I can't remember the exact figures now, but you basically pay, you can get a grant to help you out, and so you end up paying half of their salary for that time they're with you. And it was only like 700 quid a month or something.
Right.
It, you know, once you're taken off the grant that you get. So I thought I'll go for that, and I was going to try and get two. One would be like a digital marketing person to sort of help me set up a strategy, if you like, a marketing strategy, get the website going, get some content going and all that, and start doing that. And then I wanted to get a developer as well, because I think an intern, it would be a good job for an intern to build the whole onboarding bit for customers. So I you know, worked through all that, and then I started to go through what you need to have, and it's a real nightmare. It's not very helpful, I don't think, for people like us, you know, just one person businesses or even one or two people businesses, because you need to have a proper place of business. So I said, look, I work from home or the Regis office. He says, well, we need a proper place of business.
Yeah.
You can rent an office in Regis or rent a desk in a, you know, a work hub or something. So I then had to investigate that and work out how much that was going to cost and add that on. And then you need to pay them via your payroll, which I thought that's no problem at all. Spoke to my accountant about it, and he said that's not a problem. It'll cost a little bit more, but nothing significant. But you need to think about pensions auto enrollment, because if you've got somebody on your payroll then you've all of a sudden got an employee, which means you then come under the workplace pensions auto-enrolment rules. So you have to have a pensions auto-enrolment scheme. So, you know, from going to, let's save myself some time by getting an intern, it's gone this massive admin burden now that I've got to try and work my way through. So
you're
I don't
still
know.
Going to go with it, are you?
I don't know. I've not had enough time to investigate it properly. I don't even know if it does come under the pensions auto-enrolment, because some people have said that because they'd effectively be part-time, it might not require you to have the pensions.
Especially as an intern.
Thing. Yeah, exactly. But it's because you have to pay them through the payroll that I think it comes in. I don't know. I need to investigate it more, but I just haven't had the time to do it. I just thought I'd mention it because if people are thinking about getting an intern, it's worth being prepared that there might be some red tape you might have to go through. I think I probably... Because the FSB...
The stage you're in.
Yeah.
Like, even though they've been to university and all that kind of stuff, you know, generally what they teach at university is 2 to 3 years behind.
Yeah.
Perhaps that's more the case with computer programming. And that again, is, you know, my experience from 10 years ago or whatever.
Yeah.
Or even more than that now. But surely the stage you're in where you want, you know, you don't want to have to spend time training them up and all that kind of stuff.
No,
you
don't want to spend much time doing that.
You want to give someone like a brief overview of what you went down, and you want them to do it to a first class quality that has an impact on your business. Well, you better get a contractor to do that.
Yeah, that's why I was thinking about the onboarding thing, because I think I could spend as I went through the thought process, I thought, right, I need a place of work effectively for them. So there's the Connectivity Hub thing in Reading, and you can rent a desk there for relatively cheap. So I'd rent them a desk there, and I'd go in one day a week and spend a day a week working with them to go through the requirements. And I think if you give somebody, I mean, this is maybe pie in the sky, me wishful thinking, but I kind of thought that if you had a developer that knew PHP, maybe knew Laravel as well, because, you know, a lot of developers spend a lot of time outside of college working on this stuff, then it wouldn't be such a massive problem to have them work on like the onboarding process, because it's kind of, although it's integrated with the app, it's a like a layer over it, if you like, you know, through registration, and then by onboarding I'm thinking about the, you know, arrows pointing, click here now, do this now, do that now, which is like a one-off process really when you first get people on. So I was hoping that I'd be able to guide them enough that they'd be able to go through it. But you might be right, it might not work.
I don't think that's very fair to that person in terms of them going to ConnectVT and you only going there once a week.
Yeah.
And this is going to be their first job fresh out of university, and they're going to be in an office with they don't know anybody there.
It's an internship.
They don't know anybody there. Yeah. They might be shy and not talk to anyone.
Well, it's quite a decent bunch of people there.
Yeah, I've not been there, so I don't know what the atmosphere is like. Stuff like that.
They've got regular people based there who are very friendly, and it's young as well, so it's a lot of them are quite young.
I think if you were to do it, you'd have to go to there 5 days a week as well.
Yeah.
At least for the first couple of weeks.
Yeah, I guess the first few weeks it involved more time, yeah. I don't know. I'll have to think about it some more. I mean, I've not got much time, really. I'll have to get it sorted out because they'll be starting in June.
Right.
I'll put some more thought into it. So you think, I guess, yeah, maybe someone straight out of university wouldn't be great for a developer role, I don't know. Kind of hopes it might be quite a good thing for them to get their teeth into.
I guess until you, I don't know how much work you'd have to go and put into it before you get to actually speak to one of these potential interns to find out what the skill level is like.
Well, the process is that I put up the job, I sort of write out the job spec, and then it basically goes on like a job board, and then people apply for it, and then I guess I get to interview them as far as I understand it. So I pick the best few that I like, and then I interview those. So I should have a fairly good idea about how good they're going to be, I think. You can never guarantee it, that's the trouble.
No.
But who knows, I'll give it a go. But he did also say that developers are like hen's teeth, because so many people want developers that it's quite tricky to get one. So we'll see.
Oh well, yeah, keep us updated.
Yeah, no, it's good, yeah. We'll go for it.
So, goals for the next podcast?
Right.
So we're going across the month border, so...
Well, I don't think I'll have any more customers by the end of the month, because it's only a week away. So my objectives, I think I've got to be fairly sensible with it at the moment because of the amount of work that I've got on and what I can take on. So I think one objective is going to be get the website into a position where I'm not embarrassed of it and I'm prepared to actually send a link to somebody, you know, because at the moment I'm not in that situation. So that's the first goal, is to get the website in shape like that. This trial customer that's starting a week on Monday, so by the next podcast, we'll be in the middle of that. So I would hope that'll be going well. It's a bit of a wishy-washy objective, but basically have them pretty much signed on the dotted line by the time that we next record the podcast, so that they're that's sort of a 90% cert. And then I think I should try and get two more customers in the pipeline, by which I mean having cold called a few and got a couple that are interested to maybe have demos and things. So that's what I mean by pipeline. So I need at least two more like that, I think.
Okay.
In 2 weeks.
Sounds good. So my target for April is to get 5 customers. So one down, hopefully two more in the pipeline. Well, there's two more in the pipeline. So hopefully I'll get... I'm not... Because I don't even have like a recurring billing thing set up at the moment. So yeah. I'm taking an email confirmation as being a customer right now. So hopefully I'll have two more email confirmations by the end of the by the end of next week. And I will try and see how I can... get two more, I guess. Try and hit 5.
Cool.
So we'll see. I did have a list here. I don't know if there's anything else. The other stuff I've kind of done in terms of getting the marketing site up and stuff like that. So I do want to try. I'm kind of torn, or I guess it just takes experiment of... I'm not sure whether it is going to be possible. I guess there's three ways. So there's referrals, which I hopefully will get. That'll be free. That'd be lovely if I can grow off just referrals.
Yeah.
There's obviously the automated marketing way of doing Facebook ads, driving them to some kind of download page, capturing their details, and then start the drip marketing campaign to them that's hopefully all automated and they'll sign up for themselves. But I think the third way might be old school, even cold calling or direct marketing through the post, something like that way. Because although a lot of golf professionals do have their websites, so all their contact details are online, because they all need to be obviously get hold of. So yeah, it might just be a case of hitting the phones. And
I think that's going to be the way I'm going to start off. I have to start off as well. I think I need to have the website there so the link can spread around a bit, or at least people can see what it's all about. But I've got a feeling that there's not going to be that many that come through the online marketing at the moment, at least. So I think mine's going to be a case of building it up slowly by actually talking to people.
Yep.
Which is fine, but as long as... it's not too slow.
We shall see. Yeah. Cool.
Cool, excellent, yeah. So good luck with your objectives.
So next podcast, it's 2 weeks today, isn't it? I get the key, so we'll have to do it Thursday. And
it'll be just before you get the keys.
I'll have to get used to recording over Skype as well, because I can't imagine you wanting to come down to Bude every 2 weeks.
I do quite fancy the idea of it, but I'm not sure it's practical.
Well, if you left on Friday evening, you could bring the family down, stay the weekend, and we could do the podcast over the weekend. But it is a 3-hour drive, though, or three and a half.
It's quite a way, yeah. Well, we'll sort something out either way. Skype works all right. So.
Yep. Cool. Awesome. All right. Cheers, Martin.
Cheers, then.
Bye.
Bye.